Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by the letterer from IDW's Transformers, Tom B. Long, as we review Transformers Till All Are One, issue number 10. We'll discuss Transformers' August solicitations, and we learn about a Bolivian man who builds Transformers-themed houses. We have all of this and so much more on this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Did you want to know how to help out Transmissions? Check out our support page at transmissionspodcast.com/support. By donating, you will get some great extras, including bonus podcast content and the option to listen to live recordings of the show.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that was surprised by a new Transformers relationship recently, but doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm your host, Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, what's up? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, and in addition to the regular hosts, we've got a special guest joining us on the show. That is the letterer extraordinaire for IDW. He does all the Transformers books and quite a few other IDW books and does all the graphic design, art, and everything. We just did a great interview with him that may or may not be up by the time this show goes up. We'll see about when it's actually up. So you've either listened to that already or got that to look forward to. Please welcome Mr. Tom B. Long.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for
joining us. Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yes, Yoshi found someone in the industry who would actually take his complaints seriously, so now he's his favorite person.
Yoshi's going to save this show off to a cassette and frame it.
Do you listen to our show while you're at work?
I do. Yeah.
Do you tell the other people to listen to it too? It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, I've sung your guys' praises in the, right along the hall.
The guy next, yeah. You're like, you should listen to these guys. They talk about typography and shit.
Or you should say, listen to these guys. They're idiots and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. That Yoshi guy is a fucking moron.
I'm going to throw him a bone and take the black out of one fucking cover.
Watch, I'm going to make this nerd's day. It's going to be awesome.
And just like that, you literally made my
day. Yeah, exactly.
That's why we do it.
Appreciate it, sir. You can have the wheel back, Charles.
Well, so Tom, in addition to being an awesome at your job and doing lots of comics, you're also a Transformers fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was remember the original cartoon, so of course I'm a fan from back then.
Cool. So and you've listened to the show, so you know we tend to go a little deep here. So I hope you'll come along for this ride where we go through a bunch of these topics here. So
I'll do the best I can.
And please don't hesitate to jump in with any comments or any additional notes or feedback as we go through these topics.
Will do.
If you can correct Charles, you will win the day, sir.
It's getting easier and easier to do these days. Yeah, so let's go on with the show, starting off with some comics news. And last week, we just got the solicitations for IDW's August 2017 Transformers, or comics in general. So not just Transformers, but lots of good stuff. Which includes the Transformers. And, of course, we'll talk about the titles that are coming out, but we won't give you any spoilers, so we won't read any of the solicitations or anything, but we'll have a link in the show notes so you can check that out for yourself. If you do want to be spoiled, that's up to you. But starting off, we've got ROM versus Transformers Shining Armor number 2. That's coming out in August, continuing that miniseries that started in July. We've got Optimus Prime number 10 and Lost Light number 9. Those ongoing series continue. And when we've got the IDW new crossover, the Hasbro crossover for this year, it was already announced, but it's coming starting bi-weekly in August. First Strike, number one and number two. So those are all the comics that feature Transformers heavily. Of course, we've got all the other Hasbro titles coming. One thing I did notice in just looking through the solicitations is that all the Hasbro titles, I'm asking whether they're going to be relaunched again, because a lot of them say finale or last issue or last issue before First Strike. I'm not really sure. It's a little bit ambiguous, but it appears that Rom, Mask, and G.I. Joe might be doing another relaunch after after the First Strike.
It's really miniseries. Too bad we don't know anybody in the industry. Well,
maybe so we don't get him in trouble. We could. Yeah. We have a, you know, a PR contact. Maybe we should just reach out to them and ask.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that. But yeah,
I got that email address right here. I believe it's Miss Tom B. Long at IDW. I'll type that email up right now.
Well, I'm covered. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. I'm covered because I don't work on the solicitation documents, so I actually don't know what's coming. I only usually work one or two issues ahead, so it's as much a surprise to me as it is to you guys.
Oh, okay.
When is San Diego Comic-Con? Is it June or July?
That's July.
July. Okay, because that's a long way, so I imagine they would make some announcement before then.
Yeah, I mean, by July, they'll have solicitations for October out. So yeah, I mean, then
solicits just came out, maybe one of the bigger news sites will have like an exclusive in the next week or two.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, so that those are the solicits for August 2017. As things get closer, we'll see how all those shake out. And of course, we'll be reading and reviewing all those books as they come along. I don't know if we're going to do the First Strike crossover like we did with Revolution last year, but we'll see. We could. I don't know.
All right, we'll talk.
All right. Another thing, we got some Amazon listings for upcoming trade paperbacks that were announced for February 2018. So these are collections for books that are already coming out this year. And so we've got Optimus Prime Volume 2, which seems to collect like the next story arc of books. So that's probably going to be like issues 7 to 12 or something like that. First Strike, which will probably collect the entire First Strike miniseries. And then the Autocracy Trilogy, which I think was already announced, but just confirming that it's coming out for February 2018. But I thought didn't they already release the Autocracy Trilogy as a trade paperback? Because didn't they have a signing for that back in March?
That was a hardcover edition, actually.
Ah, okay. So this is just the paperback. Okay.
One correction.
Congratulations, Daryl. I know that made you happy.
It did. But the point was for Tom.
All right, so that's all the comics news, and let's get into our comic review. And this week we are doing Till All Are One, number 10. And Jeremy is our Till All Are One guy, so he's going to do that.
Apparently, it's funny how it always ends up being my week when we do Till All Are One. All right, Till All Are One, number 10 this week. It is written by Margaret Scott, artist by Sarah Petra Duroche. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters by some guy named Tom B. Long. Editor is Carlos Guzman, and publisher is Ted Adams. Three covers this week. The first one is by Sarah Petra Duroche, and it has Onslaught behind Blastoff with some spidery arms behind him. Then the subscription cover is by Priscilla Tramontano, and it's basically a group shot of the Combaticons with Swindle. Retailer incentive cover is another Sarah Petra Duroche cover, and I believe is that Onslaught,
Charles? Looks like
it. I think so, okay. Yeah.
I thought I saw the barrels on his back, but it's okay. He's laying there with a spidery hand scraping over his face.
He's got that little circle above his head. We can see that distinctive mark in every other picture of Lancelot and the other covers.
All right. So I guess we'll start with Tom, since you actually worked on some of these covers, you know, putting it together. Which one of these, you know, if you had to actually go out and buy your own comics for once, which one would you get?
I like the regular cover. I like the composition of it. It kind of, you know,
has very symmetrical.
It has symmetrical, but it has this like sense of impending doom. You know, it's got some tension and drama to it. I like it.
Cool. Yoshi, which one, if you were actually to buy a comic, which one did you get?
I'm going for the retailer incentive cover.
Cool. Daryl, right. How about you?
It is cool.
I'm going with the regular cover. It's the second in the series that she's doing. After reading the story, it's that much more awesome to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. And Charles?
I'm going to agree about the regular cover. I like the imagery. I like how Sarah has made a theme of these covers for the next few issues. And yeah, in this particular instance, I mean, I originally thought this was going to be Black Arachnia with those spider arms around them, but we'll see when we get into this issue who it was. And it's much more interesting.
Yeah, it's one of Merid's own, you know, characters. So we'll get into that. And I think I will agree with you. I was actually torn between the two covers Sarah did. Both of them are great, but yeah, probably stick with the regular ones.
Can I just say that it really chaps my ass that the issue number is on the bottom of the cover?
Yes, you can. Yes, sir, you can.
If only there was someone we could talk to fix that.
I know a guy. We'll see.
It really screws up the organization of the comics I don't buy.
All right. Moving on to the summary of the book. The title of this issue is The Price of You. Bumblebee and Starscream are talking about recent events when Bee praises Starscream for freeing Chromia. Even if an innocent bot was convicted, I guess it's progress. Starscream gets a note to meet someone who is only named A. Bee knows who it is and warns Starscream that she's dangerous. Starscream arrives at Arachnid's lab, and she's got Onslaught's body on a table. Arachnid is a Yukarian fate spinner, and many of those can see the future. However, she can't, and she was actually exiled for trying to learn the future by dissecting brains from living beings. She's now assisting Starscream as a neurosurgeon and trying to revive Swindle. However, Swindle wasn't the reason that she called Starscream down. She realized that due to the combining process, the Combaticons' brains have been imprinted on each other, and she thinks that they can use that to their advantage. The next scene has Blastoff waking up from getting drunk and passing out. He complains that Onslaught knows that he's an easy drunk, and that's exactly why Onslaught says that he takes him out drinking. Onslaught then tells him to get up because they've got work to do checking the security plans for a meeting coming up. See, they work for Starscream, and he'll be seeking any hint of a mistake. Blastoff is confused. Starscream? He doesn't seem to remember much from the past few days, or actually years. Onslaught fills him in. He sucked as a fighter during the war and had to keep being saved. Then afterwards, he found that incompetence to be the reason that he got Blastoff into a relationship. Suddenly, Starscream appears as Onslaught is frozen in place. Blastoff realizes that this is just a dream and Starscream shouldn't be here. Starscream reveals that he knows many secrets of the Combaticons that they would rather keep to themselves. But Blastoff calls Starscream a monster and he doesn't deny it. Starscream says that he actually embraces that and Blastoff might not be a monster, but Onslaught is. That comment sends Blastoff into a rage and he jumps Starscream and starts ripping components out. Suddenly, a voice from behind asks if he's gotten it all out of his system. And since it's just a dream, Starscream is unharmed and sitting behind him. And Starscream reveals his offer. All this could be real. The job, the relationship, all Blastoff needs to do is cooperate. Starscream needs a loyal team to protect him, but Onslaught has a tendency to try and overthrow the leader, and that's a problem. His solution is to modify their memories. They'll believe that they were Starscream's secret bodyguard for years. Swindle's injury was caused by someone other than Starscream, but the angle made people think that it was. Then the combination with the brain dead bot, in an attempt to save him, caused everyone to end up where they are now. The team will be so thankful for Starscream for saving them that they'll be even more loyal. Blastoff will be the only one on the team to know the memories are fake. He'll be there to smooth things over anytime something doesn't line up, and Onslaught starts to realize something is wrong. And if he does what Starscream wants, then he'll get everything he dreamed of. Later, Starscream is informing Ironhide that the Combaticons are waking up. Ironhide insists that they'll face justice, and Starscream agrees. Ironhide will find out everything that happened after they wake up. Right now, they just need to recover. In the medical bay, Onslaught is waking up and sees Blastoff looking over him. As Blastoff explains that he was the first to awake, and he's been sitting there trying to plot the perfect murder of Onslaught, his hand is covered by the Combaticon leader, and as he says, he's noticed something new. And that is the end of this book. I will say that the whole relationship thing kind of came out of nowhere to me. That's one thing that I would have liked to see hinted previously, although it might have been, it's been a while since we've saw the Combaticons. But I really liked the introduction of Arachnid, which was one of Margaret's characters from, I don't know if she created it, but it was one of the major villains on Transformers Prime. And we actually see in the flashback to the, when they're describing the Fate Spinner stuff, you actually do see Black Arachnia as one of the Fate Spinners on Eucharis, or is it Eucharis? Is that right?
Eucharis? I don't know.
Eucharis. Yeah. So that was neat. What do you guys think about this book?
I definitely like the machinations that Starscream is going through here. I think the reveal of Arachnid as his Nemo surgeon, you know, this is from way back in issue one where, you know, bots were being involuntarily had their brains, attacked or whatever. And so we finally discover the identity of the Nemo surgeon who was doing that to find out who knew where Swindle was. So that's one mystery solved. And Arachnid as a character, it's a nice introduction for her because in Transformers Prime, one thing that was interesting was that she wasn't actually a spider. She turned into a helicopter. So now here we're giving her an actual spider alternate mode. So, And in keeping with the whole Fate Spinner thing on the Beast Wars planet. So I think it's a really good and kind of logical use of a character from a different incarnation of Transformers. So I like that.
And Megrid's always trying to get the Prime characters in there where she can.
Yeah.
Wasn't Arachnid a triple changer? It's been a while since I saw pretty Prime, sure she, but
I think she also had a spidery form.
I thought she just had like spider legs in her robot mode. I don't know. It's been a while, so maybe I'm wrong.
Her toy didn't become a spider, but
yeah.
But her toy was one of the worst toys ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jeremy, with the relationship, it did kind of shock me, this whole kind of Blastoff having a crush on Onslaught. But I think at least they could be read as hints. I mean, I think before this issue, you might not see them that way. I definitely didn't see them that way. But like in previous issues, we have Blastoff being particularly loyal to Onslaught and saying, you know, he's with him to the end, no matter what and everything. So, I mean, yeah, you could interpret that either as like a really close friend or now it seems like, you know, a romantic feelings or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure that if we go back and read, there's probably seeds laid out throughout the book.
Yeah. But yeah, this did throw me a little bit. I think just because since we've had, you know, the Combaticons have had kind of a long history since G1, so they've always been kind of just, you know, pretty, like, they've always been portrayed as pretty, like, violent, macho bros, for want of a better term. So it's just interesting to see them taken in this direction. And I foresee some of the fandom getting upset about this, but I think it's really interesting. I like weaving this in with Starscream's whole plan for getting him on his side and kind of taking this little nugget of these feelings that Blastoff has and using that to his advantage to turn the entire team into his pawns. And I thought that was really interesting.
Okay, cool. Well, Tom, what do you think about this? I mean, since you learned about this much earlier than the rest of us, I mean, were you shocked as well?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by it. I was caught off guard. Like Charles was saying, I kind of liked it because it takes characters that you think see as one dimensional and flushes them out and gives them a little more personality. Mm-hmm. So I like that. This book is actually really fun for me to work on because it's not a real like action packed bang boom, lots of sound effects. So it actually goes pretty quickly on the production side, but it's also a lot of fun to read through because I can consume it really fast while I'm working, and then you know the art is beautiful. It tells the story perfectly. So it was a nice, you know, kind of change of pace.
Cool. Daryl and Yoshi, any comments?
This is my favorite Transformers book currently. It has been that way. You know, consistent writing and art and just a solid story.
Yeah, it's a good story for sure. The book itself, light on action. I don't think they're in that spot right now. Obviously, the book is in a recovery mode from the action that has taken place recently, right? Mm-hmm. You still got Carcer sitting there,
and they're literally rebuilding.
Exactly, right? So I find it odd. I don't know whether I didn't know that Starscream had the ability to, you know, enter other bots' dreams. I didn't know
he's doing that through Arachnid.
Right. I remember Prime as well as I do. I would assume that Arachnid would take the opportunity that Starscream being incapacitated, either put him down or, you know, do something nasty to him to, you know, try to kind of take the power from him. Right. Cause obviously she has to control his brain to put it, to connect it to Blastoff's. Right. So that would be my only kind of note on this is that why is Starscream relinquishing such power to someone so evil, right? Although, I mean, we really haven't had any experience with Arachnid in this universe. Maybe she isn't as bad as she was in Prime. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. The book itself, though, was really nicely drawn. I love Sarah's art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. There's not much story as to the whole Swindle, you know, part. I'm still interested to see what they're going to do there because this has always been, they've always functioned as a team, and the Combaticons losing a member like this, they did it in, I think it was Transformers at the time, but formerly Robots in Disguise, they replaced, what's his name? The part of Devastator with Scoop. You know, there's the ability to replace a member in your team if he is not functional.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm interested to see what they're going to do as far as the combiner goes, because that's always been something that the Combaticons have always been for me has been the combiner.
Well, I mean, one thing is in the IDW universe, this is, I guess, the issue where they combined until All or One was the first time they actually did combine in the IDW universe. Like it's always been Swindle since the very beginning of the IDW comics has been on his own for the most part. And the Combaticons have been just a four person unit where Swindle, at least originally, they haven't really worked with him a lot. Like they show back in, I think in some of the, like it was Autocracy or Monstrosity or mm-hmm. Primacy. In those comics, they show like in the deep past, like Swindle was working with them, but in the modern day, Swindle has been always kind of a lone actor while the Combaticons right. have been doing their own thing.
The roll call page does mention him as ex-Combaticon, but I was treating that more as he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But to your other point about Arachnid, I think with this introduction, at least, it seems like she's being more portrayed as kind of a rogue scientist rather than someone who's super power hungry. Like she...
Right.
She just wants to really get at, you know, figure out as much as she can by delving into people's brains, but she doesn't really care if they live or die. And so that's why, you know, they have that with a flashback where they show how she was like basically murdering a bunch of her fellow Beast Wars Beast Wars animal mm-hmm. friends on Yukaris.
Kind of like a combination between Arachnid and the name just blew out of my head. The other spider from Beast Wars,
Tarantulas.
Yeah, kind of like because mm-hmm. he was the mad scientist,
right? And he was in Last Stand of the Wreckers doing similar.
Yeah,
things.
But I mean, just that kind of character trait as well.
Yeah, Sins of the Wreckers, I should say, not Last Stand. But one thing I also want to mention with Sarah's art is that she combines, she's like the one thing that I think is really interesting about Till All Are One is that we get so many different iterations of Transformers in the same book. And it's interesting to see how their different design styles mesh with a, you know, you've got Starscream and his kind of, you know, Combiner Wars body. You've got Bumblebee and his Fall and War of Cybertron body.
Yeah.
You've got Arachnid and a prime body. You've got the Combaticons and Combiner Wars bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of mesh really nicely together.
Yeah.
I guess if you've got nothing standard, then that's the standard, right?
Yeah, I mean, but the art in this was really, really nice.
I have one more little weird thing. I just was looking at the roll call page, and the roll call page is very blank. Obviously, there's very few players in this story, but one of them mentioned on the page is Lita One. She's not in the book. And then you've got the Combaticons, who are just kind of thrown out onto the page in a very odd order.
Well, look at, I think it's more to show Blastoff and Onslaught close together. And Swindle's always kind of the big question of the book.
Right.
Yeah, let me comment on that. It's probably just because I didn't update the roll call.
Ah. Okay.
So is the printed one.
I wish I could take credit for a deeper meaning there, but no.
You had 20 jobs, Tom.
I'm like, is there some... The Combaticons are in a strange pattern here. It's in some kind of Y or a triangle kind of...
What's what is the big that question? Mean? Why?
I mean, yes, you found it out. Awesome.
Yeah, I just thought that it was like, okay, after reading it, I went back and saw it, and I was like, oh, Onslaught and Blastoff right there next to each other. That... Yeah, makes sense.
One thing that I also thought was interesting was that you have Bumblebee, you know, being Starscream's conscience in the first few pages, but then when he starts really doing the bad stuff, Bumblebee is nowhere to be seen. But I'm going to guess that he's kind of mentally projecting himself next to Starscream, as we learned from back in the Transformers Annual this year. So he probably knows everything that Starscream is doing here. Right. So whenever Bumblebee gets out of Crystal City and you know, comes back into the book, he's got a lot of dirt on Starscream.
Yeah. I would figure that since Starscream is kind of projecting himself into Blastoff's brain, Bumblebee couldn't follow there. But he probably does know everything that's happening.
I mean, just the fact that Starscream believes that Bumblebee is just a figment of his imagination. And when he finds out that Bumblebee, it's the real Bumblebee who's been tormenting you all this time.
That's going to be so anticlimactic because we, the reader, knew. I mean, we knew, but then we were shown. Like, that whole reveal is going to have to be way off the hook for it to mean shit to anybody that's reading the book.
Well, I mean, I think the reveal isn't what I'm looking forward to. It's the consequences. Like, what will Starscream do once he realizes that Bumblebee is real?
Mm-hmm.
Like, immediately, does that pushes Bumblebee probably to the top of his hit list, and you know, he's gonna start sending assassins to Bumblebee or whatever.
I feel like they really gave themselves a difficult job by revealing to the reader that Bumblebee was alive before the character. I think that's gonna be a hard reunion to sell.
Mm.
But yeah, the consequences is also that's the interesting part for us at this point. So it'll be interesting how they convey that so that we're not like, okay, that was anticlimactic. I do want to point out, mostly for Daryl, because I think he and I are on the same page here, and this is kind of off topic, but on page 13, Sarah's web work is mm-hmm. so good, I want to see her do Spider-Man.
Nice.
I mean, I've been staring. You guys have been talking. I've been staring at this web work. Like, I want her to do Spider-Man. I want a sketch cover of Spider-Man now.
Yeah, that does look really good. All right. Well, I mean, if there are no other comments, then that will end our review. And look forward to whatever is coming out next week.
All right. Well, that was our comic review. Let's move on to some Transformers media news.
All right. Well, a lot of the stuff we got this past week was a lot of the same stuff, just in, you know, different piles. So we got news that the Transformers The Last Knight worldwide premiere will be on June 18th in Lannister Square in London, England. That
I think that's Leicester Square? Leicester?
Nope. Nope. I see. It's definitely Lannister.
Is it Game of Thrones?
Yes. Have you not seen some of the trailers to this movie? Regardless, it is in the UK. There will also be a Chicago premiere, and there is a contest so that you can go to that. There's links in the show notes. You can go check that out.
Hmm. I'm not far from Chicago.
There you go.
I'm going to.
We got some new TV ads. I myself have gone on a complete hiatus of all things last night until I see the movie. Just it's more of a thing I do with movies that I want to see in the theater. I really don't want to spoil myself on anything that kind of gets shown before the movie comes out. So I have not seen any of these. I do not know what's in them. So if you want to watch them, check them out. We got a couple human profile character cards. So this first one was released near the beginning of the week, was for Agent Santos. He's one of the new characters, and we got the one just came out the end of this week was for Vivian Wembley, and another one of the new characters. I believe it's the new love interest for Marky Mark. So, but I don't know. It'll be in the movie. I'll check it out. Same as everyone else.
Of course, we couldn't get any character profiles for any of the Transformers in the movie.
Well, no, they're not important.
Haven't they already given us that with the when they did those motion posters?
Maybe.
They have any character information on those posters?
They had their names.
Okay.
Bumblebee. He bumbles bees.
That counts.
We had some interviews and behind the scenes videos. Again, these are more things I personally didn't look at, but take a look if you want to see them. More links in the show notes. Upcoming live action movies. An article came out this past week, just actually in the last couple days, that said after The Last Knight, there will be four more movies to follow. Now, we knew of two. We've got the Bumblebee movie, which is next year, and then we've got Transformers 6 after that. But now they're projecting two more movies after that, all based on sales, basically. Showing the article that they posted here from CNBC shows domestic and international sales numbers for all the Transformers movies that have been released so far. International sales are through the fucking roof on the last two movies. So you bet your ass that these next two or the future movies will be heavily influenced by international or for international audiences. Yeah, that's kind of expected. I was hoping that maybe after the Transformers series was going to kind of reboot a bit. Doesn't seem like it is. We did get a Bumblebee license, a spinoff poster from the licensing expo. Nothing too crazy here. It's just a picture of Bumblebee's head that says Transformers Universe, Bumblebee, June 2018. Nothing special. And some new products that came to the, a new product that came to the market. You can now buy the coveted, highly sought after Unicron Trilogy on DVD in a box set in Australia. So you can follow the link and go and check it out. And lastly, we have a another bit of audio from that G1 Ultimate Doom. This is from the Transformers at the Moon people. And they have got some missing or extended dialogue from that particular episode. So lots of stuff in media news. Again, because The Last Knight is now less than 1 month away, they are in full press here on you know, getting the word out.
All right. So, yeah, lots of links to look up in the show notes. So if you're into tracking what's going on with The Last Knight movie and got just less than a month to go before it's out there, so enjoy. All right, let's move on to some transforming pop culture.
Right. In pop culture, we actually have a story about a Bolivian man who builds houses for the for rich people that are inspired by Transformers. And I mean, some of these pictures are crazy. It's like you took the old Stars battle set that you would, you know, get by turning in your robot points, and you're actually living in it.
That's crazy.
Sounds like heaven to me.
Well, look at the pictures. You've got like Autobot and Decepticon logos on the walls, but I mean, it's not just that. You get the tiles, and I mean, it looks like he just spent a lot of time just making this look like it was right out of the 80s cartoon.
The first picture for the article, when I first saw it, I was like, what's this guy have to, like, what's Sports Center have to do with Transformers? And then I realized the giant Autobot symbol on the wall. The color palette looks exactly like, you know, Sports Center does. So,
oh yeah, I guess just the grays and
stuff, yeah,
and the reds. So would you guys like to live there?
No.
I gotta wonder what kind of furniture would you put in there.
Yeah,
like you put a modern couch, it's gonna look terrible.
Yeah, well, that picture that has like the big area with the columns, you can see just some kind of plain tables off to the side, but the columns actually kind of resemble smokestacks.
But I mean, where would you put like pictures on the wall? What would you put, like, if you're a Transformers fan, if you're that big of a Transformers fan, you're gonna have, you know, shit. You're gonna have a lot of stuff. Yeah, where are you gonna put it?
He should have like display cases built in.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what this really needs is he really needs to make a dedicated podcast studio for a popular podcast. I think that would be awesome.
Are we moving to Bolivia?
Well, no, he should come up here.
He travels around. Like
the $1 million Patreon goal.
Yeah, the article specifically said this. Houses, Transformers themed houses for the rich. So we need our patrons to step it up a little bit before we get there.
Actually, currently he's working on an Iron Man house for someone. So
sell out.
So anyway, that's a pretty interesting thing, and I'm glad to finally have another pop culture thing in the show.
That's crazy. It looks like more of a restaurant than anything.
Yeah, it does.
Who knew Bolivia's elite were Transformers fans?
And had that kind of money.
No one ever suspects Bolivia.
All right, well, Jeremy, stay right there because we're moving on to convention news.
Don't turn that dial. We have news for TFCon USA, which will be September 29th through October 1st. They've announced that James Roberts is going to be attending.
Who's that then?
No one you would know.
Right.
Yeah. But for the audience, he's the writer of More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light. And he's been to many TF cons. We've had a chance to sit down with him at a couple of them. And yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he's always one of the more popular people in the signing rooms. So,
but remember, it's Tom who takes James's chicken scratch and makes it readable for the rest of us.
I do my best.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yoshi, you'd appreciate this other announcement. TFCon Toronto 2017 has announced that James Reyes is going to be attending, and I believe you met him last year.
Dude, one of my favorite sketch covers ever has been done by him.
Yeah. So and that will be July 14th through 16th, and they have not yet announced that at least half of Transmissions will be there, but at least half of Transmissions will be there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to meet them. I've got some older Dreamwave stuff that, you know, I'd like to get them to sign. And maybe I could try to get them to do a sketch or something.
He's very reasonable.
Cool. Well, that is all the convention news we got.
All right. Well, let's finish up the show with some feedback.
And going back to last week's episode number 26, we got a comment from Ellie, friend of the show, Ellie, who writes, great show as always, guys. I'm so glad you enjoyed my letter. Your kind words mean a lot. I can't wait till next week's show. Well, thanks a lot, Ellie. I'm glad you enjoyed that. If I remember from listening to last week's show, she sent a very long letter that Charles read.
I did, yes. And it was very nice and very positive and very faithful. Praised us a lot. Yeah. So I was it's always nice and surprising to get those kind of letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks, Ellie, for that. That's what we got this week, Charles.
All right. Well, I guess that takes us to the end of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, I want to thank our guest, Tom B. Long, for sticking around and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
And you should check out the interview we do with him. As I said, that's already up or will be up soon. So enjoy that whenever you get to it. But we talked to Tom a lot about the work he does for IDW and all the things that go into lettering and getting a comic ready for printing. So it's very interesting. So check that out.
I can't wait to hear it.
All right. Well, that's it for Transmissions Alt Mode. And we'll let Yoshi tell you all the good stuff at the end of the show. Thanks. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Wow. And I'm sure it's Charles. And that's just a double wow.
I just copy the...
No, I know what you do. I know.
Fixed it.
That certainly was a little loud there, Jeremiah.
Sorry, that effect was loud, but normally. Is that too loud?
That's fine. That was fine for me.
We can always go back to Charles just doing it himself. Do, do, do,
do. That's a lot of outtake fodder.
I like the the other sound effect Charles makes, Jeremy.
Which one? This
God
one?
God damn it, Yoshi!
Yeah, that one.
I like that one too.
Yoshi's the diva.
He keeps making me send them all these green M&Ms too. I don't get it. All right. And we'll just have Mike fix that. Since Mike is awesome.
Thank you, Mike.
Love you.
We pay him in love, since we don't actually pay him real money.
It's a sticky job.